Well, friends, I was really surprised to read something I had read many times before, what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, from verse 9 to the end of the chapter. It was after he had described the great subject of justification by faith, and after he had called on his readers as to how they should offer themselves acceptable to God in respect of their everyday lives. There was nothing extraordinary about these rules. It was plain and simple, common Christian rules, but he said it was something that was very reasonable, and it was actually worship, and to keep them was worshipping God in our daily lives throughout the week. Before we mention them, we need to keep remembering Paul is speaking in this chapter to Christian believers. He's appealing to Christians as brothers and sisters who have received and possess grace and faith from God, and who are one body in Christ. These rules that he gives, Paul mentions, are not directions on how to be saved. These people, as we have shown, are already saved through union with Christ and by faith and grace. These rules are, put simply, just the way God wants Christians to live in our daily lives as we live and move and have our being in this world among people. That is our lot, to live among people and how to behave with them. These rules are found scattered throughout the Bible in both Old and New Testaments. Here, there, in this chapter, there are around 30 rules that Paul gives in this list from verses 9 to 21 of chapter 12. We've heard and read them many times before, and therein lies the danger. We skip over them because we know them, we've heard them so often. But they are vital and essential if we are to get God's ear and favour. It's vital we keep them. We do them. And equally important in keeping these rules, we bring more peace and blessing to our world and to our families and to our communities and to the world around us. And God is glorified by our keeping and by our obedience of these rules and regulations, which seem so simple. When you zone in onto the list, and if you take it seriously, it can be quite debilitating, actually. We will mention only three of them, the ones that are difficult and people find most difficult. One is outdo one another in showing honour. Outdo one another in showing honour to other people. The Authorised Version, it translates it in honour preferring one another. The NIV says, honour one another above yourselves. The message is clear. Genuine humility in all our relationships with people is paramount. We fade into the background. Elsewhere, Paul has made that plain. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. Count others more significant than yourselves. Philippians 2:3. We are to honour everyone, even when the emperor is Nero, says Peter, 1 Peter 2, verse 17. Now that's demanding to relegate our own personal interests secondary. To be godly, to be a Christian, means to think of others before we think of our own comforts and prosperity. The original word means to lead the way. We have to let others lead the way and let others be the winners and be content for us to be out of the way. The next rule I mentioned there in that list is associate with the lowly. Associate with the lowly. The Authorised Version translates it, condescend to men of low estate. The NIV translates it, be willing to associate with people in a low position. This can be very difficult if our self-identity is not conditioned and regulated by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we have not adjusted our natural stance before people, we'll find it hard to put off the image of popularity and success and prosperity, and to don the image of failure and poverty in order to be associated and be helpful to others, to these people. It takes nothing less than the essence and substance of Jesus Christ, who's meek and lowly. We need to have his spirit within us. While you and I might be repulsed by the state and condition of people in low positions, Jesus' heart was drawn to them. He gravitated towards them. Jesus' heart was gravitated towards them, and he could listen to beggars crying in the distance, in the midst of a crowd where people were thronging him. Jesus is drawn to those who see themselves as poor. Those who see themselves as poor, and is only repelled, Jesus is only repelled by the self-righteous, and never by those who acknowledge their shame and weakness. We Christians are poor and we are lowly, and only in Christ have you and I as Christians are we worthy and of any value. We are only being honest and truthful when we identify with those in a low position, because we are lower, we've been made high by Christ. In the Roman Empire, Christianity did a marvellous thing. It made the slave and the master sit together at the Lord's Supper, taking the bread and wine, both acknowledging their own personal sin and their unworthiness and their need of a saviour, with all earthly distinctions gone. The third rule that we would mention in this chapter is do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how we should handle evil, overcoming it with something good. We're too often content to be overcome by problems created by sin and do absolutely nothing about it. Paul states, if your enemy is hungry, then feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And so we're challenged, aren't we? How much are we prepared to part with in the way of time, finance if we have it, to help the ever-increasing evils which result in crippling debt, dispossession, exploitation of workers, ill-treatment of the vulnerable, the plight of the homeless, orphans, widows, foreigners, and all the other social and economic evils that are presented and portrayed each day on our screens. We're confronted with social evils. What practical good are you and I doing to help the situation? What practical good? Now, prayer is excellent, first and foremost, but if it does not lead to practical solutions, evil is not overcome. Again, we emphasize this is not a word about how to be saved and forgiven. The unsaved and the non-Christians listening to this, their first duty is to believe the gospel, then get to know what gifts God has given to you in providence, and then use them as best you can in the providence of the Lord. These challenging tasks in this verse can only be performed by those with the grace of God in their hearts and with a mind committed to serve Christ. No one can come near to fulfilling these commands except by the power and spirit of Jesus Christ within them. This chapter 12 of Romans tells us about all the various gifts Christ has given his people and how they differ from one another according to the grace given and according to the proportion of faith given to us. Yes, this list of rules is for everyday life, ordinary daily life, and we can only, they can only be performed if we personally have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Jonathan Edwards used an illustration about honey. He said there are two ways of knowing honey. We can know honey by the ingredients which make it up, the chemicals, sugars, proteins, saturates, etc. That is one way. Or we can know it by tasting it. And it's the same with the gospel. It's the same with knowing Christ. Do we only know Christ through books and theology and listening to sermons? Or are we driven to obedience to him by having met him and tasting of his love and mercy? What a challenge. Well, may God bless these thoughts to us.